This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Welcome to TSW After Dark Side. Like and subscribe with all of your hatred, and your journey towards fandom will be complete.
Just waiting for Paul to become free.
Yeah, it's cool. No worries. I'm just browsing. I'm just browsing Twitter at the moment.
Just no talking about sending me Snow's picks.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. That supports the theories. Nintendo have filed some new patents, and obviously, whenever companies file patents, especially tech companies, it's always an indicator of what they might be doing next with their systems.
All right.
Nintendo's filed a patent for an accessory that, when connected to a portable device, adds functionality. So, for example, there are techniques where an external controller as an accessory is connected to a connector on the controller of a game device, allowing a wider variety of game options. And it's interesting because they've been theorizing for a while that Nintendo might be doing a kind of hybrid system that's part portable and part home console.
Right.
And that sort of those patents kind of lend a lot of weight to that theory. Just looking at the example, and it's almost like a Wii U controller. Well, it's actually like somebody's added buttons to an Etch-a-Sketch. It's really interesting.
That sounds like a typical Nintendo design.
It's got two, what I'm guessing are two sticks in the bottom corners. And then at the side, it's just got like a four-button panel. But I'm guessing they're analog sticks rather than Etch-a-Sketch dials.
Right. So it's not like a digital Etch-a-Sketch.
No, although with Nintendo, you're never really sure.
Could go either way.
Yeah, exactly.
This Cold War veteran said, you guys have good audio chemistry.
Oh, well, I think that's true. I definitely think
and
that's true.
And then followed it up with a theory. Got to go to work anyway. Gonk is Snoke.
I was thinking about Snoke today. Would and you? I started laughing to myself because I theorized that, in Revenge of the Sith,
yeah,
when Bail Organa realizes that the clones have sort of turned on the Republic.
Yeah.
And he's making his way back to his speeder and a Jedi comes bounding out.
Yeah.
That was all a ruse.
Yeah.
The Jedi lived and it's Snoke now.
Right. So
I started laughing because it was fucking absurd.
That's Jet Lucas.
Yes.
George's son.
Right. Yeah. That's really cool. I think that's, as nepotism goes, I like that sort of one.
Yeah.
I don't mind it when it's just a sort of blink and you'll miss it part. If he'd given him like a speaking part, that would have been something else. And I don't think he's done that in any films. Wouldn't mess with his daughter either. Kick the shit out of me.
Yeah, she's a MMA, isn't she?
Mm.
A nice family. I like them. Well, I've sent Paul a text and I've sent him a email. Cool. I'm just hoping that I can get a response. And then if he's going to come on later, you and I can kick it off.
Yeah, sounds good. Still sad it's unavailable.
So this week we've added, in terms of affiliates, we've added Busted Tees and Tea Republic. And our store is up and running and it's loaded with designs from us and from Tumbling Saber.
Nice.
And today I was confirmed as an affiliate for Sideshow Collectibles.
Cool.
So okay. On the homepage of the website now, on the right-hand side, should be a Sideshow Collectibles banner.
Okay.
And you click on that, and it takes you to a selection of 1/6 scale hot toys that I've selected to put together in a group to market.
Nice. Oh, yeah, we've got TeePublic. Tumbling Sabres one's really good. The Say No to Clickbait.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's the new design he's put up.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just the Tumbling Saber logo underneath, but it says Say No to Clickbait.
Right, I've got
a... And I came back to the Facebook post with, oh, man, I was going to do a series of 10 T-shirts and number 7 was going to shock you. Now what?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, the Han Solo 6 scale.
Yeah, that will change. There's a load... Okay. That's a series of banners that scroll through showing you all these different things.
That's awesome.
And then... Obviously, I can't say anything about it on the live show yet because we haven't been confirmed, but Her Universe have told me that we will be an affiliate of theirs. They're just trying to work out the application I've posted through the company I'm using to put my affiliates together hasn't reached them, and they're trying to work out why at the moment. So there's no reason why we won't be a Her Universe affiliate, so that'll be on the homepage as well.
That's also really cool.
And so the homepage affiliate links will be a little bit more attractive than just the Apple ones. They'll come down. I'm not putting extra on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking down the Apple store affiliate links.
There'll
still be the videos available in our store.
Yeah.
But we'll move towards more Star Wars centered links like Her Universe and Sideshow. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and work out how to get Funko as well. I'm not sure who they use, who their agent is, but
I know.
All right, I hope Paul's okay.
I'm sure he's okay, no harm has befallen him.
No, his wife just got back yesterday. She'd been to Thailand to visit some friends.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Is she Thai?
No, she's not. She's Brit, but. She and Paul worked out there for years and years. Yeah. And
The only reason I ask is because I've got a mix. I've got one friend whose wife is Filipina.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there all the time, and I've also got one friend whose wife is Thai. So they're out there quite a bit. By the same contrast, I've also got a friend who goes to Malaysia half the year because she goes there quite a bit for work.
Yeah.
So I've sort of got a mix of a bit of everything, really, so I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, the reason Nat went back out was just to visit a bunch of friends because they're all, as far as I understand it, they're going to be starting to make their way home.
Okay.
So they all used to work together, and I think that's all kind of winding down for one reason or another. When we went up to Celebration, Paul told us that they'd decided that Nat could go back and... Mm-hmm. Spend a couple of weeks just catching up with everybody and saying goodbye.
That's cool.
Probably smuggle back a couple of bags of heroin and then get on with life.
When in Rome, bring something back up your ass.
Oh, brilliant. I'm recording all of this. This is going to be great.
Oh, okay, perfect.
After Dark Side fodder.
Nice. I'm just browsing through. I figured out a way to... It's not gaming Crowdfire. I've basically set up two accounts, one for myself and one for Emotionally 14,
right,
with different email addresses. And I figured out, it's not so much I figured out a way to game the system. I figured out a way to view them both at the same time.
Right, in the same app?
No, I'm just being stupid. It's really stupid that I didn't figure it out earlier. I've just got them open in two different web browsers.
Right, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
As in two different, like one in Chrome and one in Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having, because in Chrome tabs, obviously it will just display the same one twice.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want. I just want to be able to see. I'm going to figure out a way to game the iTunes store reviews as well. And I'm going to figure it out. That's what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
123 countries. And I'm going to have something that you open a browser and it just runs the whole fucking set. Yeah. Just shows you.
It's really quite shy, isn't it? I want people to sort of send me decent. I want it all brought to me, basically, because I'm incredible. I'm the hardest working lazy person you've ever met in your life.
Well, quite.
And people need to bring it to me, or it's not going to be found.
There's websites that the known thing is there are hosting services that do it, but they are they ask for an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
It's like $100 a year or something per
account. See, as lazy as I am, I'm infinitely cheaper. So
oh, there's that.
That is not going to be a thing that happens.
What am I? No, Steve this week, have we? I forgot about that.
No, Steve, because it's Jen's birthday, and I can't seem to raise Paul, even though he has told me he's coming on.
Yeah.
But he's not answering email or text or Facebook.
There's a bit. I could tell you something that happened to me in the week if you're willing to cut it from the final edit.
I can stop this recording if you like.
We can do, yeah.
Kick off recording just in case we want to talk about anything.
All right.
Extra.
Okay.
I think that's this.
You okay if I retire for the evening, gentlemen?
Of course, mate. Yeah, no problemo.
I'd love to stay on board. I really would, but I'm going to go and chill. Mrs. Jones has just come back from Thailand as well.
So of course, yes.
Go and chill. And yeah, of course. Second home as far as she's concerned.
Yeah, fair enough.
Are you good for the weekend, Paul?
Yeah.
Have we got a time in mind?
I don't think we do. Do we still? Are we?
What would
we
be?
We were thinking late afternoon, very early evening, weren't we, at one point? It's entirely.
Yeah, that's fine with me. What have you got in mind, Rob?
What's that, mate?
Time for Saturday for all.
I kind of thought we were doing it about four-ish.
So, yeah, because it's going to take a couple of hours of our time, isn't it?
Yeah. That's good with me.
So, yeah, okay. Four thinks groovy.
Okay.
Four's good. All right, so, cool.
4 p.m.
All right, I'll lock that in. Hang on.
Tell Steve. Confirm with Steve.
Yeah.
Because he said he's in for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yes, indeed.
Right, I'm going to go and design lots of Ewok gold bikini T-shirts.
Oh, my God.
Okay, mate. Nice one.
Maybe we should get Steve in the gold bikini.
Oh,
I think
he wouldn't be naked.
True, but I think it's part of his I've started to try and establish on Twitter that it's part of his TSW contract that he has to be naked at all times.
Okay. Yeah.
In a TSW context.
Contracts are worth the paper they're written on.
Yeah.
Well, in his case, we didn't have any paper. We had to write it elsewhere.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right, I will see you Saturday, gentlemen.
Cheers, Paul. Speak to you later, mate. Take care. Bye.
Marvellous. It would be typical, wouldn't it, that we're sort of like sitting there going, oh, you know, let's have an After Dark Side, and then suddenly the Rogue One trailer drops and we're like, shit, drop everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's come. I've checked.
There's no sign of it, no.
No, it will pop up on the YouTube channel, won't it, when the time comes?
I think they've already said that it won't hit YouTube until tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what they were.
Find it elsewhere then. Rogue One. So, yeah, I was saying to you before we started recording, I bought an arm and a mic shock mount for this thing. Just because you can hear it there where I'm typing.
Yeah, you can hear it this end as well.
Just about hear it, yeah.
Terrible, isn't it?
It's pretty bad, really. I mean, it's a symptom of having a good microphone, ultimately. But, you know, it does mean that... it just means that you have to be careful with that stuff. And it made it a little bit better to have it mounted above the laptop. But then we were also recording, because of the way we'd set up, the recording gear was in the middle of the space, but the actual laptop was over in the corner of the table.
Right.
Because obviously once I've got it all set up, I don't need it nearby. Obviously it's different when I'm recording for TSW because I'm looking at stuff on the screen as well. Whereas with this, I literally just set the recording off and then we were just playing a game.
Yeah.
I need to get something like a backup recorder device because I was so pissed off losing that recording. Because it was really the second hour was shaping up to be better than the first.
Yeah.
And the first was good, but the second half was shaping up to be even better, and then it all just went tits up and I was so annoyed.
Yeah, I really want to get a recorder.
Yeah.
Like what was I looking at recently? The Zoom.
I know the Zoom one, yeah. I saw the one.
H4N, either H4N or H6.
Yeah.
Is something I'd like to get my hands on.
Fair enough.
But then that really only has benefit when we're all in the same place recording. And true. We haven't had a chance to do that yet. And that's purely because of logistics.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. All in good time.
Yeah, exactly.
All in good time.
Indeed.
I just saw Ewan McGregor in a TV show from the 90s today.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Been watching, Lisa and I have been watching ER from the very start, because a couple of years ago we bought the box set.
Okay.
And it's like 15 years that thing ran for. And
mental, isn't it?
I tell you what, I watched it from the first episode originally. It started when I was still living at home with my parents. That's how long ago it was. Blimey. And I loved it back then, but I did not possess the skills to really understand what was going on.
Okay. And when you say possess the skills, how do you mean?
I didn't have the film language to really understand what they were doing, even on TV.
Okay.
The structure, the actual stories they were telling, I only accepted at face value, and I didn't really see what was going on underneath. But now there's so much. I'm taking so much more from it. And Noah Wiley's character, John Carter, is just exceptional. And his performance.
John Carter of Mars.
Yeah, that was the movie version of ER. A lot of people didn't realise that was the case. And I think that's probably why it failed.
I was going to say, most notably, the director didn't seem to know.
Yeah. It's a really great show. I absolutely love it.
I mean, obviously, my thing at the moment was, up until today, was Rebels, but I finished that now. I'm working my way back through House, because I really like House.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working my way through 30 Rock as well, because I quite like that.
Yeah, I didn't get into 30 Rock.
It is it's hard going, but if it just gels for you, then it's good. I mean, I like the Tracy Morgan character, Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
Because
he's
just, they make him delightfully eccentric and stupid. And he'll just, you know, there's a really great scene in one of the early episodes where they're playing poker and he's lost all this money because he's got a terrible poker face.
Right.
And to the point where even he sort of turns around and says, all right. And he turns to Alec Baldwin and he goes, all right, what cards have I got? And he turns around and goes, well, you have two of your cards facing the wrong way, actually.
Baldwin's great, isn't he?
He's wonderful in that show. He's just the perfect mix of daft as a brush and arrogant and smart and suave. You know, he's got that nice dichotomy going.
Yeah.
So equal parts buffoon and sort of smug buffoon.
Buffoon. There's a word you don't hear bandied around that often these days.
I think I used it to describe Trump when I was having that chat with Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do stand by that.
Yeah.
That he's kind of embodies it more boldly than anybody I know. Maybe Boris. Boris is somewhat of a buffoon.
Yeah. Have you seen Peter Serafinowicz's YouTube channel?
I love Peter Serafinowicz.
Have you seen? You seen any of that? You should head over there immediately, and watch some of his. He revoices some news reports that feature Trump.
Okay.
And then there's one of Boris on there as well.
Nice.
And he doesn't change, from what I can see, he doesn't change any of the content. No. He just revoices it, and it's hilarious.
He does some fantastic ones. He's got this. There's this video on Funny or Die. And it's him. And what he does is he impersonates 50 celebrities in 2 minutes, but they don't exist. They're not real people. He's just got photos and he's just making up voices and characters for them.
That's weird.
You're like, there's a bloke who's just like, he looks like a sort of 50s bit part black and white actor. And he's just, the caption underneath is Guy Testes Jr. That's what it is. He just does 50 things of the same ilk, and they're just hilarious because you imagine people come into it and going, I've never heard of half of these people, but you're not meant to because they don't exist. They're not real.
Yeah.
It's just really funny.
That's weird.
Yeah. He's a funny guy anyway. You know, he had a really good sketch show for a while. I think it only had two seasons, but it was really good. And he had this character called Brian Butterfield, who was like this sort of bumbling businessman. He used to do infomercials that were just ludicrous. And they were quite funny.
Sounds very Ricky Gervais-like.
He's a bit Ricky Gervais-like, but he doesn't seem so up himself as Gervais comes across.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because a lot of people don't like, they kind of, Gervais rubs them up the wrong way because he always seems a bit sort of the kind of guy who loves the smell of his own farts.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah. But he, I mean, I like Gervais, but at the same time, I totally get where people are coming from with that stuff, because he does sometimes, you do find yourself thinking, like, do you actually, are you still playing a character, or are you just trying to get away with thinking this way, you know?
Do you believe your own press?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, actually, he had a bit of flack a couple of years ago because he was using words that people found offensive. And he was apologising, but then in previous years, he said that he knew exactly what people took those words to mean, and he didn't care because they were, you know, that's not what they meant in modern usage, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's hard to explain without using the word, but I don't particularly want to use the word because obviously some people do find it offensive.
Yeah, I think that's probably the safe bet. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I am of the belief personally that words only have power if you assign power to them by fearing them. So, you know, but then with that said, I know that there are some people who don't like having certain words said to them. So if I can avoid it, I will not.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if I mean, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to context and comfort. That's a kind of firm belief of mine, is that so much of what people end up offending others with is them speaking in the wrong context or speaking where they feel comfortable when they shouldn't, because they're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to make a joke with your friend who's, I don't know, of a particular persuasion, whether, you know, maybe they're an ethnic minority, or maybe they have a certain, you know, sexuality or something. It's one thing to joke with those people in somebody you know, and to make a joke that would normally be offensive, except they know what you're like, and so they know it's all in jest.
Yeah.
Versus saying it to somebody in general, just a stranger on the street. And it's something, you know, it's something in the past that I've struggled with. I mean, obviously, if you go back and listen to the early Emotionally 14 podcasts, certainly the Crazy Train is true of this, is there are some jokes in there that would probably upset people. And it was something we kind of had to learn to make sure we reined in, because we didn't necessarily have the knowledge that people could be sure it was a joke.
Yeah.
Because we were new to podcasting ultimately. And we'd all been online in various forms. Obviously the blog had been around for a few years, but it had gone quiet for a while. So when we came back into it, it was almost like we were coming back into it for the first time. So we had to be careful just to make sure that we didn't lose people, like turn people off before they had a chance to realize that actually we didn't mean these things we were saying. It was all in jest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. It's very tough. I used to do that all the time. I used to adopt certain positions on topics that I knew would aggravate people, but
yeah,
maybe I believed what I was saying. And I would do it often to get a rise or a reaction when I was a young man. not something I do now, because obviously I respect other people's opinions enough to give them the space they need to practice those things. If it's religion or if it's whatever it is, you know, it's just give people the space. And I was doing a lot of this stuff just to get a reaction, when I really hadn't earned the right to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you can be provocative when you've earned that right. I could say things to Lisa, for example, that I couldn't say to anyone else.
Yeah.
Because I've earned that right. And we've got an she understands that I might say something and not entirely mean it.
Yeah.
Or I might say something because it will be funny in the context.
Provoke the right reaction.
Yeah, and it's in the context of our understanding that she knows that that's not really my position. Yeah. I couldn't turn up at a dinner party and just go, what about them Jews? Because, you know, you just can't do that. Yeah. When people don't know who you are, and they don't know what you're... They don't know that you're joking, or you're just trying
And as I say, it's funny you use that specific example, because that was exactly the problem we had. You know, we made a joke that was along those lines, and we were like, oh, we should probably take a step back here and clarify that this is not what, you know, we're not actually like that in real life.
Yeah.
We're just fucking around.
Exactly,
And like I say, I think over time it's become evident to anybody, certainly people who come in and listen now. I mean, obviously there's enough material they can go back and, you know, evaluate it for themselves. And understandably, you know, I don't go out of my way. Who am I going to, you know, I'm going to upset somebody today, and that's going to be awesome because it's so much fun. Like, but, you know, if I upset people with these things, I don't necessarily mean to. I do some, you know, there are probably times where I do say, where I do deliberately, like you said, do deliberately kind of go out of my way to just be a bit provocative because I think they probably need it. Because I think some people can be a bit sensitive about certain things. Not to say that that's always the case, but...
No, of course not.
I think sometimes people are a bit precious about certain things.
They can be. And I think, you know, as I enjoy getting a laugh as much as anybody else. And I'll give you an example of real life sort of biting me in the ass. Was a few years ago, I was walking Poppy in where we live is in the woods. So you can go, if I had a gate in my rear fence, it would lead straight into a big thick wood, right?
Yeah.
And we could go out into there with Poppy on the lead and walk around. And more often than not, when we first moved here, we would meet up with other dog owners and walk around the big group.
Sure. And it's one of the upsides of it, isn't it?
Yeah. And social a lot of the people I would walk the dog with were women. There was a couple that used to live just a stone's throw away from me, and the woman was a young woman, and she was tiny. She was a police officer, but she was teeny tiny and didn't really fancy walking through the woods with her dog on her own. Yeah. So we would meet up, and there was four or five of us who would meet up. The dogs would run around together, and we'd be walking around. And anyway, I was in one of those moods one night over there. It was a bit silly, and I just wanted to just get in a laugh. So I can't remember the exact exchange, but basically we were all talking. It was on the run-up to Christmas. We were all talking about what a nightmare Christmas can be.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I said, this guy said, don't really do Christmas. And it was all very light-hearted. And he just threw this comment out in amongst all of this, everything that was being said in this exchange. Yeah. He said, don't really do Christmas. And I went, what are you, some kind of... And time slowed.
Yeah.
And I scrolled through every possible option, thinking too offensive, too offensive, too offensive. And I thought, there's one. And I said, what are you, some kind of Mormon? And he went, yes. Right. And I thought, fuck. It didn't seem to matter what I did. I'd loaded that barrel at that point and spun it.
Yeah.
And
I just like, you know, what are you, some kind of...
And then I started thinking, that was... And then I woke up face down in the woods with missing teeth and bleeding. It was just a ridiculous thing.
A bag of ice on my back and kidney missing.
I'd gotten out in front of myself during that little thing.
I'm saying Mormons do that.
Yeah.
Just to make sure there's no connection. That's just a bit, the thing of waking up in a woods. That's more, you know.
It was just so bizarre. I got out in front of myself looking for a laugh and...
I know what you mean.
Hadn't thought it out.
I remember once when I first started a new job, I was sat with a group of people in the office, and one of them was a lesbian. And I was a few days into the job, and we were just chatting away, and I can't remember how it got onto the. I can't remember what we were talking about, but she said something, and I said, "Well, of course, we're forgetting that the reason that these things happen to you, these bad things happen to you, is because you're an abomination, you know." And I said, "You're an abomination under the Lord," or something like that. But then it occurred to me, everybody sort of chuckled, but I think after that, it occurred to me, they don't know that I'm not a massive
idiot,
hyper religious person.
Yeah,
they have no way of knowing this. I've known them 2 days. I was like, I'm going to make sure that I never, ever, ever do that again, especially with that person.
Yeah,
and I mean, as far as I can see, we get on fine. It's not like it's caused any. It never caused a rift or anything like that. But it's just that, you know, there's that reflex of like, you say something and then you go shit.
Yeah, I don't yet have the currency to get away with that.
Mm. Yeah, they have no way of knowing that I'm fucking around. There's no context here to assemble. Like I say, we struggled with it initially with the podcast for the first couple of episodes, but yeah. we've hit a point now where it's like become a running joke of like, oh fucking hell, what's he said now?
This is a pretty good point to go out on for this rather short episode of the After Dark Side, but it's good, I think, good rule of thumb. With this new thing that we found ourselves in, this podcasting thing, it's a good rule of thumb. It's the Stan Lee approach, where he said every comic...
Excelsior.
Yeah, that. And with that, thank you very much for listening.
If you've got a thing, put yourself in it somewhere.
Yeah. Stan said every comic book is somebody's first comic book.
Okay.
And every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
This is true.
So someone might pick up a show... like one of your Crazy Train episodes.
Yep.
And you're years into it thinking everybody that listens understands who we are and what we do and how we do it. But it might be, you might have attracted a listener for the first time and that's the one they listen to.
Yeah.
And you might blurt something out thinking we've got a shorthand with the listenership.
Yeah.
And you lose that person straight away. Like this episode.
It's called the Crazy Legal Disclaimers.
Yeah.
It's actually we kind of do it in a sing-song way because we do it to the tune Crazy Train by Black Sabbath.
Right.
No, not Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne. It's two different things for as far as CD releases go. But we do it to the tune of Crazy Train. So it's like, Crazy Legal Disclaimers. And then we go on to explain what we're not saying really, you know.
Yeah.
Like the one that sticks in my head is Crazy Legal Disclaimers. The cast does not in any way endorse the ritualistic murder of children. But in context, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that one kind of does the job for me because it's like you said, it doesn't rely on the fact that it's somebody's first episode, that somebody's coming into every single episode. And it's also quite funny because.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, as you're talking about that stuff, you sort of you find yourself just going, yeah. You hope that people listen to it and go, oh yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I can see why they would go back and make sure that's still kosher, as it were.
It would be probably a good idea to have a disclaimer on this episode.
What's that?
Well, this podcast like, actually.
We talk about offence and how it's.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's taken, it's never given.
And to let people know that if this is the first thing they're listening to, if this is how this is their introduction to Talk Star Wars, and this ain't it. Like a Cold War veteran said on the main show, this is punk rock podcasts. It's just you and me talking and not having an idea of where we're going.
Yeah.
And we are off book, we're off script. It's just a conversation that takes place whilst I'm converting the files from the main show.
Yeah.
And before I start to do the edit, so.
Yeah. Incidentally, on the subject of how not to do things and how not to offend, how offending people can backfire on you, did you see that there's not likely to be a Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
Because they lost too much money.
I'm going to cut that piece out of a previous episode of The After Dark Side.
Yeah.
And send it to Sony and say, this is how you should do it. And if you
don't
want help with that, don't do your thing again.
Yeah.
By all means, use those ladies again because they're fantastic, especially Kate McKinnon.
It's really funny, actually, that if you look at the article on BBC, they make out like the problem is that it's targeted like a targeted hate campaign. But actually, it's got shit reviews. The producers and directors and stuff doubled down on insulting a massive part of the core fan base and also generalizing it, which is even more annoying. And then there's a lot of manufactured controversy around it.
There is.
And stuff doesn't sell tickets.
And I think the other thing is as well that you've got something new. And if it fails, people are going to be scrambling, trying to work out what it is. And the startlingly obvious things are, it's a reboot. So that must be
reboot.
That must be what failed. Yeah. And B, it's an all-female cast. So
obviously
that must have been what failed.
Obviously the world just hates women.
Yeah.
Whereas actually the reality is...
It's not binary.
Like women, fine. It's because... Not- Suicide Squad has Harley Quinn front and center, yeah, and that's been a commercial success.
But I do, I think that what I'm hearing about it is it's got its own set of issues.
Oh, sure.
The Suicide Squad, with the way it treats the female characters.
Right.
But Ghostbusters, the problems there weren't solely because of those. It's like blaming Hayden Christensen for the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
He was an element in that failure, not the element in that failure.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, to be clear, I don't apportion any blame on the stars of the film. I think it's down to the shitty management. And I think the, like I say, the messaging has just been awful for that bloody film. And like I say, it's one thing to go, oh, okay, you didn't like the trailer. Sorry to hear that. Hope you still see the film when it comes out, or make a, you know, take on board what the criticisms of the trailer are, and then factor that into the next one you make. What you shouldn't do, and what they did, was go on late night TV and say that everybody who hated on the trailer was a 45-year-old man living in his parents' basement, because that's going to turn people off more.
See, they were guilty of the self same thing, weren't they, at the start of saying, well, you don't like it, therefore you must be this, and looking at it as a purely black and white issue, when it's clearly not.
Same thing happened with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because they announced that it was a black Johnny Storm, and everybody went, well, hang on, why is he black? And they were like, what, are you a racist? Like, no, I'm asking a question.
Yeah, what worries me about that?
Why is he black? What's the explanation? If there's an explanation and it makes sense, that's fine. But what you can't do is just cut them off and say, oh, well, you're not a racist, are you?
The worrying thing is that what the studios are going to see? Are Fox going to look at the failure of the Fantastic Four and think it's because the world's a racist? Or is it because, or are they going to be able to say, look, you know what, let's try and look at this objectively. We just made a bad film. And it doesn't matter that the cast were too young, or it doesn't matter that we cast questionable people in those roles when maybe there are better people out there for those roles. It wasn't. It was a direction. It's the same thing with Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You told a poor story and you told it badly.
Yeah. And like I say, when you were marketing it, you turned around and made it look like it was the audience's fault that they didn't get on with your art. That's not how it works.
No.
Art's very, you know, art's subjective, but if that many people are telling you there's something wrong with your movie, there's that famous phrase, isn't there? If one person's telling you you're an arsehole, they're an arsehole.
Yeah.
If everybody's telling you you're an arsehole, you're probably an arsehole.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if enough people are telling you that's not good, you should at least step back and say...
and acknowledge it.
Yeah. I mean, like, if, you know, we're going back to the podcast example, if I had enough people telling me, if I had one person telling me I didn't really like that bit in the episode, I go, okay, fair enough. I'll keep that, you know, I'll factor that in. But if the majority of people tell me, oh, they like the episode overall, I'll probably just carry on as normal. Mm-hmm. If enough people told me they didn't like a specific bit, I would probably revisit it and make sure to avoid that in the future, because you can't deny, you know, you can't ignore that sort of, you know, a swathe of your user base and your customer base just because you don't like what they're saying. That's not how grown-ups behave. And that's one of those things that annoys me about kind of popular culture, is this real reluctance to acknowledge that there are opinions and tastes and things that differ from your own.
Yeah.
And it seems to me to be kind of fostering this disconnect that's happening with the critics and the public. You know, like the Suicide Squad's been absolutely panned across the board by critics. It goes into cinemas and it's getting middling, kind of, you know, average to slightly above average reviews from the people who actually go and see the movie, who are just the paying public.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody could argue, oh, well, that's because the general public's stupid and the critics are clever. It's like, well, that makes you a bit of a tosser, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And you're probably, and if you say, if you think that, you're probably a critic.
And they don't look at the same thing.
No, exactly.
A critic doesn't look at the same. They would sit in The Force Awakens and have a totally different experience to you and I.
Yes.
Even though you and I are probably leveling a slightly more critical eye at it to, I took Lisa to see it. I'm sure she watched that film a different way to me.
Yeah, same with you.
But then it's remarkable that we both come out and say that's fantastic, because we both looked at it from slightly different positions and still taken out of it this wonderful thing. Now, that can't happen all the time with every film, but it seems to me that with Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and now Suicide Squad, there is an overwhelming majority of people that come out saying, well, that was just bad. No, the opposite. Oh. That was just bad.
Mm.
And this thing with Suicide Squad, that's what I'm hearing. I've heard Jeremy say, I had fun with it.
Yes.
And apart from that, I've heard none of the guys on Slash Film liked it. None of the guys at CinemaSins liked it.
Yeah. I spent a couple of my friends have said they liked it all right. They said it had issues and they were sort of quite clear on what they thought those issues were. But they did say, you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't regret going to see it. You know, I'm glad I went to see it at the cinema, things like that. So, you know, I've kind of had a bit of a mixed bag as well. I've seen some people who are just like, oh, it's a load of shit. Mm. Some people just use it as an excuse to rag on DC. And that's the other thing that people are kind of wondering is, would they be this critical of a Marvel movie that was not good?
Well, there have been, those do exist. I know that a lot of people like to think that they don't, but they do. I mean,
they do.
Sure. Iron Man 2, Thor the Dark World, Ant-Man to a certain...
I wasn't a big fan of Dark World.
They're the weakest entries, but I still kind of enjoyed them. Thor the Dark World I tried to watch again recently and I kind of found it to be a bit tedious.
Yeah.
But it still did the world building that the other films did. It just lacked some of the charisma that something like Guardians of the Galaxy or the original Iron Man had.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen DC hit those heights yet. And again, it's not because they're DC and it's not because they're DC properties that they're failing, because Batman succeeded under Nolan for at least 2 out of 3 films.
Sure. And I mean, financially, Dark Knight Rises did well.
Yeah.
Critically, it wasn't nearly as popular as Dark Knight, but I think as long as your cast stays alive... Sad as it sounds to say, I think as long as your cast stays fully alive for Dark Knight Rises, it can never live up to the same heights. Because I think a big piece of that was the tragic events of Heath Ledger.
There was some morbid curiosity there, to be sure.
Absolutely.
That carried with it the posthumous Oscar for Heath Ledger, which if he had lived, I don't imagine a comic book character, Heath Ledger... was a fantastic actor, and that performance was captivating.
It was superb, absolutely,
Oscar,
no doubt.
Oscar worthy?
No, I don't know. It's not Oscar worthy, it's just, would it get a look in?
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because they don't, really, genre films don't tend to get that sort of love, do they?
No, this is it. I mean, you know, if you can imagine, I can't imagine a situation where a superhero movie would get, you know, looked at in that way.
No, I can't imagine Alfred Molina getting a lot of love for Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
We've got speeder bikes.
Yeah, speeder bikes.
Right, that's going to be the sound of me getting out of here now, because I've got some work to do before I get to bed this evening.
Okay.
Right, everybody, we're going to take off. You can find me at Talk Star Wars on Twitter. Rob?
You can find me at Rob Wade Vision,
where
I'm much more reserved. Sorry, I didn't really. I forgot we started doing sort of short outros for this one.
Yeah.
It's like we only did it for the first time last time around, and it just sort of threw me a bit. Sorry. It's like, what? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We don't just disappear off into the darkness.
Yeah, exactly. We just don't just fade out. But you can find me on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. Yeah, feel free to follow and let's have a chat about whatever you like. Like I said when we had the other Ghostbusters episodes, I'm quite happy to get into discussions about all this pop culture stuff as well. I take an interest in it.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to put my opinions across, because I feel, you know, I believe in my convictions very strongly, and I'd like to think I can argue the toss.
Awesome.
But we can find out, can't we, to put that theory to the test with the help of the listeners.
Indeed. All right, people. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.